Hello and welcome back to Hacker Slacker. I'm Jacob Petticord.
And I'm Andre Garive.
And this week has been a doozy.
It has. We are recording on Friday morning before an event that we have to go to for some school stuff.
Yeah, so there's been a lot of some school stuff this week. And a lot of waiting on this mic to show up.
Yeah, so Jacob got his new fixed mic. So we're back on two mics. He is on the correct mic arm. And it is Friday morning, but we are going to get this out by Friday midday, hopefully.
Yeah, so hopefully we're back in our improved sound quality.
Yes.
That we should have for a while now.
Absolutely.
So just some quick updates on what's been going on. Our semesters are wrapping up.
Yeah, we got 2 weeks left after this, including those are just prep week and finals week.
Yeah, I feel like I have like 8 big projects due in those 2 weeks, but
yeah,
it'll all come projects together, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And then just yesterday, we had our big, our school had their big spring speaker. And it was Satya Nadella this year.
Yeah, it was awesome. If you don't know, Satya Nadella is the CEO of Microsoft. So he was here. He had a conversation with Jeff Rakes, who funds basically all of the program that we're a part of. And it was a really awesome experience to kind of see them talk.
The content of his talk was, it was very like, you know, I'm a high-level CEO. Like, it's all about learning and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that was his main takeaway. And then, I mean, outside of that, it was mainly just, like, cool that he would come here, you know?
Yeah,
it was really cool. I bet it was his first time ever coming to Nebraska, you know?
Well, yeah, he got on a tractor, apparently, on Wednesday, and that was a new experience for him.
Yeah, it seemed like his impressions were like, oh, there's, like, farm stuff, and you guys like sports.
Yep, that it's not inaccurate.
No, not terribly inaccurate. But yeah, so let's get into the episode. Let's start with some follow-up. Andre, let's do a little TikTok update.
All right. I'm gonna open up my screen time and hopefully feel better about myself here soon.
I will do the same.
I definitely used it a lot less this past week. I had a lot of projects and stuff since we last recorded, but in the last 7 days, I've used TikTok for an hour, so that's much better than last week.
Yeah, I don't even know if I used it for... I used it for 10 minutes, so yeah. I checked it once on Wednesday. I only used it one time, so it's probably going off my phone soon, honestly.
Yeah, I thought I wouldn't delete it, but now I'm thinking about it, and yeah.
So what made you go from, like, you know, using it in your free time till now just, like, not really picking it up?
Well, I mean, I realized how much time I had been spending on it last week, and I was like, man, I should probably use this less. And then I started to use it less consciously, and then I realized, like, oh, it's not that, like, it can kill large amounts of time, but I was not trying to spend large amounts of time on it, so I just didn't really go on it.
Yeah, I definitely don't really feel like I'm missing anything.
Yeah.
Especially just with how busy we've been. Like, I don't know, like, if it was like, you know, dog days of summer, I have like 3 hours of just like blank space in my afternoon. Like, maybe I'd be like, oh, let me check this. But that's just not the case right now.
Yeah, and I started watching New Girl too. So I guess that's something else I've been doing.
Oh,
which,
nice.
Yeah, kills some time off of TikTok.
All right, so next piece of follow-up, last episode or the one before that, I can't remember which, we mentioned Amazon's getting into the AirPods game.
Yep.
It seems like everyone's doing it because Microsoft is reportedly hopping on now, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's a rumor that's citing sources from inside Microsoft. So, I mean, when you think about Microsoft doing the same thing, it's like they have the exact same issues Amazon did where...
They don't have a phone.
Well, they don't have a phone. So it's like, I mean... You could use Cortana and maybe as an assistant to pause and play stuff, but like, what is it? Is it going to connect to your PC? I mean,
the problem with Microsoft is, so obviously with Pixel Buds, Galaxy Buds, and AirPods, they have great phones to go alongside them. That makes life a lot easier for the hardware engineers and the software engineers working on it. When Amazon comes into that game, they have a great assistant that if you put that, it's better than all the other assistants. Google Assistant, obviously, and Alexa are very close in the minds of a lot of people, but some people do consider Alexa to be the best assistant, which I mean, that means that they have at least something valuable to put into these truly wireless earbuds. But what does Microsoft have? Cortana's not good.
It doesn't really seem like they're bringing, you know, much to the game. It's tough. Like, I feel like Microsoft has gotten some pretty good, like, you know, machine learning products into its stuff, but not necessarily, like, you know, full-on a digital assistant. Like, every time I've used Windows or, like, seen people use Windows, it's never really, like, heavy Cortana interaction or anything like that.
Yeah, it doesn't really make sense.
Especially not for how much they try to push it on you.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to move right along to the news. I kind of forgot to take notes for this topic, but I don't think we'll need them. you want to talk about the Galaxy Fold and what's been happening to it?
Yeah, so on, what was it, Wednesday, a bunch of tech reviewers started getting their Galaxy Folds, doing unboxings, showing their reviews. And I honestly, I saw the reviews and I was like, wow, this is a lot less tacky and gross than I thought it would be. I'm impressed. And then the next day, all the screens started breaking. Because there's this weird plastic film that looks exactly the same as the removable film cover that is automatically installed on the Galaxy S10.
Like a screen protector.
Yeah, like a screen protector. So a bunch of people started to try to peel it off. But if you even peel off a little, one person peeled it off entirely, and the screen went like half black and then all the way to full black over the course of a few hours.
It was funny, it was like a black ink was oozing over the screen, except it was all the pixels shutting off.
Yes. MKBHD had tried to peel off a little bit of it, and then his screen just started going black. And then some of them didn't even try to peel it, and just because it was folding so much, it started to wear, and then once that started to wear off, the screen started to go black, which is a major problem with a phone like that.
Yeah, it felt like there was a bit of, like, a social media frenzy about, like, oh, like, what's going on? Like, you know, this box says don't remove the screen protector, but, like, the ones the reviewers got
That was, like, a T-Mobile special carrier advisory that they put on there.
Yeah, so, like, I'm assuming they're all going to be getting instructions like that or even more prominent if they end up shipping it like this, which it's, I mean, it's looking like they will. They sold out their pre-orders, and they said that they're going to ship it with better instructions, but
what's interesting is you can't put a different screen protector on it.
They don't want you to put anything on the screen because it could, like, affect the adhesive if you try to take it off.
Yeah, they said don't put any adhesive, which then makes me think, like, you don't want sticky hands on your screen. Obviously, you don't want sticky hands on your screen normally, but, like, especially if it's going to just start breaking your screen. And with something that can fall off that easily.
And it's a $2,000 phone.
Exactly. It's twice the price of the most expensive flagship phones, and it's just kind of breaking.
Yeah, so obviously the main reasons, like, it's having these unique issues where it's like, oh, like, they have to have this weird plastic protection layer on the screen is because it folds, right? Like, it's a different type of, like, it's not glass because glass can't bend. And so because the plastic screen is, like, so malleable, it's, like, a literally, like, just a protection layer, but it's, like, a part of the display. So when these people are moving it, it's messing it up. So it makes me wonder how, like, I think it was Huawei who has the screen on the outside of the fold that we said we like that design better. It's, like, how are they going to ensure the protection in a similar way?
I mean, I don't know how they're going to do it. The fold, like, it looked so much better than I thought it would, and then it just, it's not as bad as the, what was it, the Note 7 battery explosions, but if you're going to be selling a $2,000 phone, you're probably going to want it to not break within a day.
I mean, this is definitely like a bleeding edge type of product, and even in their, like, official materials, they said it was, screen was supposed to keep working after, like, X amount of folds. I think it was, like, 200,000 some. And it was, like, okay, if you open it up, like, 300 times a day, that's enough for, like, 2 years or something like that. So either way, it seems like there's some durability issues with this thing. But it's kind of to be expected in a first-generation product. A lot of the language, like, a lot of the, like, tech bloggers and people were using was about how, like, you know, like, we need to not, like, just be rooting for this stuff to fail, because, like, you know, the ideal scenario is, like, 4 years from now, someone's figured this, all these, like, kinks out, and it's really cool. So, yeah,
exactly.
Like, there's no reason to, like, just keep kicking it while it's down.
Yeah.
But it's still, like, a weird manufacturing issue.
Yeah, MKBHD said something about how, like, 4 years from now, it'll just kind of be ubiquitous, where it's, like, oh, everybody has a folding phone. That's just how it is.
Yeah, we'll see if that happens. I feel like you need the killer app for folding. And I guess, so watching some of the reviews of it before all the display stuff started happening, it was kind of cool when they showed, like, oh, watching YouTube on this, like, tiny screen on the outside, and then you open it up and you have this massive tablet-sized screen.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, if I had the choice between a phone that could fold and a normal phone for the same price, I would maybe pick the folding one.
Yeah, that's true.
But I don't think that'll ever be the case, because yeah. It's just, like, material-wise.
Also, like, I saw a tweet, I don't remember who it was, that was, like, it would be awesome if the Fold came with an S Pen.
Yes, I mean, it'd be perfect. I mean, you can start playing with the dimensions a little bit, and it doesn't take you long to get to a full, like, you could fold out into an iPad mini
exactly.
type device, which would be killer, honestly. Yeah. So, yeah, all right. We have, I think, three, like, just massive news stories and then a couple of other things. So that was massive news story number one. Massive news story number two, Disney Plus, Disney's Netflix competitor, is finally, like, you know, we're getting some details about it. Yep. Disney said it was going to happen in the past, but they held a conference for investors this week, and we're going to run through some of the details. So it's a Netflix-style streaming service. It's launching November 12th. It's going to be $7 a month, which compares pretty favorably to $13 a month for the base Netflix subscription, which has been going up a lot recently.
Yep.
So they're undercutting them there. No commercials. You can download anything offline. They're going to be using all of their existing libraries, so that includes Marvel, Pixar, Star Wars, 20th Century Fox, and they're going to use, along with, like, their own content that already exists, like, they're going to be putting stuff from movies onto the streaming service, like, mm-hmm. I'm assuming first.
Yeah.
So, like, probably, like, you remember how, like, movies would come out on demand, like, fairly quickly after and, like, before Netflix? I imagine it'll be the same thing, but if they did, like, a simultaneous release of, like, the Star Wars movie on Disney Plus, like, that would be... That would definitely help their sign-up numbers.
It would absolutely,
like,
help.
You could see Disney has all of this, like, valuable IP. Just, like, doing a couple things like that could easily get them up to, like, competitive streaming numbers with, like, Hulu and
all this other stuff. Well, I mean, there are people who got Netflix solely because of their partnership with Disney for the last 3 or so years, where everything Disney had went on to Netflix. And once, as soon as that's over, it's going straight on to Disney Plus.
Yeah, so I don't think it's clear that, like, all the Disney stuff is going to be leaving everywhere else immediately, but I mean, they're definitely incentivized to do that.
Yeah. And obviously Netflix originals are great, right? Netflix has more than just Disney content, but besides the originals, the Disney content is probably what strengthens its ability to get users the most.
Yep. So along with their existing content, they're going to be making content exclusively for the service. Which could be pretty cool. There was a, like, on, like, the Apple event, they actually, like, showed trailers for a bunch of these shows. One of them was, like, a Star Wars spinoff TV show.
Hmm.
And what I imagine it'll be like is a lot of, like, kid-targeted stuff.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're a parent, you want to put your stuff in front of, or you want to put your children in front of some stuff that's, like, you know, approved content.
Yeah.
Disney's, like, probably one of the number one places you can go
exactly
to trust.
There's not going to be too much R-rated content.
No. And then the last big thing to kind of consider is some other of Disney's holdings include ESPN and Hulu, who each have their own streaming services. So yep. The Hulu story was actually kind of interesting the more I dug into it. So Hulu started as owned like 30% Disney, 30% Fox, 30% Comcast, and then 10% AT&T. So it's kind of like big industry partners creating a Netflix competitor. And recently, Fox and AT&T have gotten out and been bought out by Disney.
Yeah.
So Disney now owns, I think, like 70% of Hulu. So they definitely have a controlling share. So it appears like, so Disney made their own service. It's not like they're going to convert Hulu into Disney Plus, but they can definitely do some heavily bundling with Hulu and then ESPN Plus and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll have some sort of, like, add-on obviously they love having add-ons in Hulu.
So. Well, I mean, Hulu's already like an add-on for Spotify at this point. If you're
exactly
like, that
it comes with
have.
All Spotify Premium now.
Yeah.
Actually.
Oh, all of them.
Yep.
Okay, so I mean, I would imagine like it'll be a similar thing for Disney Plus. And I mean, if you can pay like $10 a month, $15 a month for Disney Plus, Hulu, and ESPN Plus, that's all of a sudden you can.
I mean,
watch.
I would love to have ESPN Plus, but I've just kind of thought maybe it's a little bit too much. But
it's like it's a cable replacement right there. Like you have a back catalog of like Netflix style content, including a bunch of good movies. You have live sports. You have a bunch of live stuff on Hulu as well. Yeah. Like, I don't know. Could be a deal. Mm-hmm. So that'll be something to watch for sure.
Yeah.
And then the next big story is the iOS 13 leaks. So last week we had Apple trickling out like one product announcement a day, which was interesting. This week we've had this guy at 9to5Mac who is leaking a different iOS 13 feature every day.
Interesting. So, I actually didn't see any of this.
Yeah, I kind of missed it too just because I was busy until I started listening to my podcast from this week. Yeah. But I forgot the journalist's name, but essentially people think he has gotten his hands on some like beta software or firmware somehow. So there's this guy on Twitter called Stephen Trouton Smith who does a lot of analysis of this sort of thing. Like he's the one who found, like when the HomePod software came out or was like,
yeah, when it was
online,
like, kind of still in there,
they found a picture of the iPhone X with a notch, like before the iPhone X was announced in that firmware. So like, he's really good at digging up that sort of thing from just like, public beta builds and then also like developer tools and stuff that, you know, he happens across. So, the way that a lot of these news stories reads, it sounds like they were looking through the code and saw like names of things, in there and determined a lot of this stuff based on that. So a lot of people are thinking this is like extremely, like credible, like likely going to be announced at WWDC in June. So, I'll just run through a few of the things. So Sidecar is an interesting one. This is an upcoming feature that is essentially, Apple Sherlocking Duet Display. Do you know what that app is?
Huh.
So you can use your iPad as a second display for your Mac.
Okay. Yeah.
And the way that they'll be doing it is wirelessly. So there's these apps that exist where you can connect your iPad to your Mac, use it as a display, drag windows onto it, that sort of thing. And then you can touch the screen. So there's a couple interesting things Apple could do because they're the ones that control it.
Yeah.
They could essentially turn the iPad into a Wacom tablet. And those Wacom tablets are like pretty popular with, you know, graphic designers, and they're around like $800.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when you think about that, that's pretty comparable for the cost of an iPad. Mm-hmm. So if they can do something, better with the Apple Pencil, integrating with the Mac, because, you know, the existing like third party, things that do this like Duet, they don't really treat the Apple Pencil special at all.
Yeah.
So that would be cool. And another thing is just kind of a more OS level integration with the iPad. So instead of just like treating it like a monitor, you can kind of just send a window to the iPad, maybe split it in half, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of dealing with like the weird, you know, Mac UI on the iPad screen.
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense a lot of the times when you don't have a mouse. So, but yeah. That should be interesting. I'm definitely looking forward to that. Definitely something I'll use as someone who has a MacBook and an iPad. So
yeah. It
could be nice for in class if I need to pull up something side by side. Dark mode for iOS coming.
Yes, I did see that.
Yep. They're saying it's going to be the same as it is on the Mac, where it's like dark mode, where it's kind of like a dark purplish grayish color.
And then I really also like the Mac dark mode.
Yeah. And also like a high contrast mode for like actual blacks. Which could be cool on OLED screens.
Yes, like Twitter has their new night mode instead of just dark mode, mm-hmm. and I've really been enjoying that. I have it automatically, like, at sunset, change from white to black, but, like, the all-black Twitter is actually really nice. I like it more than the old dark mode.
Yeah, so there's a lot of like, dark modes have that option where it's, like, you can go all-black or you can go, like, kind of black,
mm-hmm.
and it's kind of, like, the OLED option, so...
Yeah.
It'd be cool to have on the iPhone for sure. And then the next one is that they're going to be redoing the Reminders application, which is something that's kind of been a long time coming. The interface is very like iOS 6-y.
Yeah.
Like they haven't really changed it since then. And there's just a lot of things that they could add. Not going to speculate too far into that one, but it's definitely needed. Essentially, if they can do what they did to the Notes app, where they kind of overhauled it and made it like a good notes app.
Yeah, exactly. Like I use Reminders, but Reminders kind of sucks, but I just use it because it's so integrated with the actual iOS.
Yep, so if they can do what they did to Notes to Reminders, they'll make a lot of people very happy.
Including me.
Including both of us. Yeah. So next, they're going to kind of overhaul Find My Friends and Find My iPhone, which makes a lot of sense. Because you pull up Find My Friends, a lot of people probably just use that to like see where their family's at, that sort of thing. Parents using that. Mm-hmm. Because you are automatically shared with like your iCloud family. So it's like, that's kind of a bad name. And then an even worse name is Find My iPhone. Because, you know, it's where I go to find my AirPods, find my iPad,
I use find my iPhone from my phone to find every other thing.
So a new Find app that Apple is saying where you'll be able to see your entire Find network, which includes people, devices. And then additionally, a new third thing. This is quite the week. There's a lot of stuff. A new third thing is that they're going to be, along with this new application, integrate with some sort of hardware. And they're speculating that it's hardware Apple's going to sell, like a Tile.
Interesting.
That will pair with your phone like AirPods do, where it just pops up, you connect to it, and then you can attach it to something like your keys. If it gets too far away, you'll get a notification, and it does the thing where you can find stuff if it's not connected to the internet by, you know, leveraging the network of devices.
Interesting.
So Apple is out for blood. They're taking on the iPad display apps, they're taking on Tile, and they're taking on to-do applications. So they could potentially make a lot of developers not super happy.
Yeah, but I mean, you think about this, this is all ecosystem stuff. They've got a credit card now. They've got new AirPods. They've got the Power Beats Pro that pair with it. This, their pairing system works really well. They've got Tile. They've got dark mode. They've got Sidecar. They're going to have a nice new Reminders app. It's just kind of insane to look at how fleshed out their ecosystem is now.
Yeah, so these first four things, those were all things that if you would have asked me what should they do or, you know, what could they do, those were things I probably could have came up with. Like, they make a lot of sense. But this fifth thing is, like, something that I would not have thought of and something that I would be very excited to see. So it is, have you ever been able to unlock your Mac with your Apple Watch?
Yes, when I had an Apple Watch, that's what I did, like, all the time.
Yeah, so that's what I do right now. The advantage of that is, like, the way the Apple Watch's login works is, like, you put in your passcode once, and then it knows it's staying on your wrist because it's watching your heart rate and stuff, and so
until it comes off your wrist, it will be able to unlock
your device. You don't have to re-authenticate until it comes off your wrist. So you can use that to unlock your Mac because you go and sit down at your Mac. Your Mac and your watch were already talking to each other, and by the time you try to log in, it's like, yep, you logged in with your watch, you're good to go, no password for you. What this rumor is saying is that wherever you can use Touch ID in the current system, which is like, you know, accessing your keychain in Safari, logging in, just doing a lot of system stuff, you'll now be able to just have your watch automatically bypass that for you.
Nice.
Which could be, you know, a really killer feature, especially for someone like me. Like, I use the Safari password manager, like, a lot.
Yeah.
And so never having to be able to even, like, touch the Touch ID sensor and wait for that to happen, that could be pretty cool.
Which is kind of crazy, because the Touch ID sensor made life, like, infinitely more easy for Mac users, because you just put your finger up. I mean, you're typing, you just move your finger over a little bit, and it's done. And now you can just, you don't even have to move.
Yep. It's even easier because you have a device on your wrist that's like, yes, I'm unlocked and I'm good to go. So that could be some good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So now we got some smaller stuff that I just kind of wanted to get your thoughts on. So Jack Ma,
Alibaba.
Yeah, the founder of Alibaba. Yes. I don't know if he's still the CEO. I think he stepped down, but he is endorsing the 72-hour work week. There was a lot of stuff in the press this week. So essentially, he endorses this kind of hot topic right now called the 996, which is you work from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. 6 days a week.
Yes.
Which he says is kind of like the way that you can prove you're an employee who's found their passion beyond just getting money.
He's like, if you aren't willing to work 72 hours a week, you are not passionate about what you're doing. You just want money.
Yeah, and so it's like, basically like blackmailing them.
Exactly. It's a very toxic work culture. obviously labor laws are a lot more relaxed in China. Mm-hmm. That's pretty common knowledge when it comes to why things are produced in China. And then you think about the fact that Jack Ma's a billionaire and forcing people to work 72 hours a week.
Yeah, so there's been a lot of pushback from this. On GitHub, like the most popular repo for a little bit of last week was one called 996.icu, which was kind of a protest and some resources about how if you work at 996, you will end up in the ICU.
Oh.
So that was kind of interesting to see. Just personally, when you think about like what humans were made to do, it is certainly not to work any job 72 hours a week.
Yeah.
It is definitely not to work a desk job 72 hours a week. Like, yeah, that just sounds horrifying. So like programming for 72 hours a week, I would quit my job immediately. Just obviously like the economic conditions, like I'm fortunate enough to be able to say that, and a lot of these people aren't, but that is a nightmare. That's not what humans have evolved over these thousands of years to do.
Yeah.
You know, like when you look at how much people used to work, back before like society evolved, it's like less than we do now.
Yeah.
So like further extending it, almost doubling it to 72, it's like just a nightmare, just kind of abusing your body. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it's just kind of sad that this is the work culture. Especially from a perspective that we have where, as tech interns, at least for me, I was told, just try not to go over 40 hours a week. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're like, try to get 40, try not to go over like 45 at the most.
Yeah.
Which would just be an extra hour a day. And I loved being at work. So, I mean, Jack Ma is kind of the counterpoint to that, where it's like people don't love being at work, but they're kind of forced to. And it's a lot.
Yeah. And especially if you're salaried, like, I mean, the math for how much you're making gets a lot worse if you're like almost doubling your time.
Yeah.
But I do think it just shows like how much more power workers have in the United States, mm-hmm. especially technology workers, to where,
yes,
like, I bet your average Microsoft employee works less than 40 hours a week.
Oh, for sure.
But yeah, so that was kind of an interesting look into a culture I'm glad I wasn't born into. But yeah, moving on, this is a bit more, I don't know, I think it's kind of funny. Uber and Lyft had to recall thousands of bikes from the same manufacturer because the front brake was locking up. So essentially what would happen is you're riding around on your electric bike going like, you know, faster than a normal bike can go, touch the left brake and the front brake just completely locks and you go over your handlebars.
Ah,
so
like the doctor who fell off of his scooter in front of his own hospital.
Yes. Yeah. So you touch your brakes and you go flying. And so one of the interesting things about the recall is like these bikes are like the docked bikes. So they go to their, you drop them off at the dock and like dock them in and they get lock up and stuff. So for the recall, they were able to just lock a lot of them in their hubs until they can come pick them up. Just like don't let them get used.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
And then just kind of like a thing at the end of the article from The Verge was like one rider broke their wrist and so now she can't drive and so she takes Uber everywhere after her Uber bike broke her wrist. That sounds a bit dystopian.
Oh,
but
capitalism.
I just thought that was kind of funny. Speaking of dystopian, Russia and China are working on a cryptocurrency. They're working on their own currencies that they're trying to basically replace the US dollar with a gold-backed cryptocurrency. They've become the largest buyers of gold over the last few years, kind of causing an international like gold shortage. But they're trying to acquire a lot of gold so that they can create a cryptocurrency which is backed by gold. And
that doesn't really make that much sense.
I don't pretend to be an expert at crypto. What I do know about crypto is the main advantage of it is how it's decentralized.
And there's nothing backing it except for the fact that it exists across.
So, I mean, when you think about crypto, like, so if you want to have it backed by gold, I guess that's fine. It's essentially just like the price is locked down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not based on mining like Bitcoin was.
Yeah.
But the whole point of cryptocurrency is like the decentralized nature of the, so you can verify all the transactions. Like,
mm-hmm.
it's not just trusting one central source. Like, otherwise, you're essentially, you might as well just be using like a SQL database or
exactly.
Like.
Exactly. Somebody can go in. Yeah, somebody can go in and steal the gold. Nobody can go in and steal the Bitcoin.
Well, okay.
Physically, at least.
But even in the, from a technological sense, what they're talking about is having a cryptocurrency that's run by the government, which is essentially just having the government have a ledger, which is like negates the point of an open and distributed system.
And we'll note that these are two of the most centralized governments in the in the entire world.
So I don't know what's going on there. I don't think that'll take over the Western world, but no. I guess we'll see if it does. If we're all using China coin in the next couple
years. Xi Jinping can dream.
Yeah. Okay, so that's all we have for the news. We will be back with a quick run-through of Jack Dorsey's 11 wellness tips. All right, and we're back with Jack Dorsey's 11 wellness habits. In the article headline, wellness is in quotes. When I said it, I used air quotes, and there's a good reason for that. You will definitely see it as we get into them. But this was just an article that I heard people talk about on a podcast, and I was like, holy cow. I always knew Jack Dorsey was kind of an interesting guy.
Yeah. He Can we just his, agree like, he's a little bit of a nut?
He is definitely a nut. Okay, so he loves his fasting, his silent meditation retreats. He's very, you know, peak Silicon Valley health nut kind of stuff. So kind of an interesting thing because even the minor versions of what he does, we don't really see in the Midwest, like, at all.
Yeah. Like, this dude is peak Silicon Valley.
Yeah, so, I think you'll kind of see, like, he thinks he's, like, optimizing his body and his mind to be the most productive person possible. He's the CEO of two companies, Twitter and Square. He kind of feels justified in trying to eke all the performance out of his body. There's a term for that called like biohacking.
Yes.
But what I think is that he's kind of like a angsty teenager with an eating disorder and he has probably some issues that I don't know. I think a healthier lifestyle than this would be moderation, but...
Yeah. Everything he says is, like, sort of a good idea, but he takes it to the extreme.
Yep. So this first one, I think this is probably just a good idea. I don't really have anything wrong with this. Meditating twice a day.
Yeah.
Just meditate when you get up and before you go to bed. It doesn't have to take that much time out of your day. I think... Meditating's pretty hype right now.
Yes. Meditating is great.
Have you ever tried it?
My first time at Google... it was the first time a lot of us had done any real coding, and we were at the office like 10 hours a day doing a lot of work. We were learning basically how to create a website in 2 weeks. So we had to, it was a lot. And so after lunch, after like the third day, we started doing meditation every day, and it was awesome. It was a really good way to like reset yourself. And I've been trying to get back into it. I thought about downloading Headspace. There's like a free plan for students.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. So maybe I'll follow Jack's advice here. But
that is, I don't know. I tried meditation a little bit. I mean, once you find a place to fit it into your schedule, it gets to be kind of a good routine.
Yeah.
And I can see, you know, if you're someone who struggles with impulsiveness or like, it's really like the benefit that I saw and the reason that I would do it is if I needed to kind of try to gain more control over my thoughts and my actions. And like, if you just kind of feel like you're spiraling, it can be a good way to like bring it back under control and try to get that down. But I kind of dropped off just because I stopped to see the benefits after like the first few weeks. But So the next thing he does is walking to work.
Yep.
You'd say that's a, you know, great idea, walking to work, you know. Mm-hmm. Stay active, except he walks 5 miles to work and back every day, which might be a little excessive. And then he kind of describes it in a funny way where he says he looks more like I might look a little bit more like I'm jogging than I'm walking. And it just kind of makes me think that he's like power walking to work 5 miles every day.
Yeah. I mean, also with that meditation stuff, he like went on some meditation retreat where he doesn't really eat much for 10 days and just kind of sits in a room and doesn't do anything for 10 days. Just taking things to the extreme.
Yeah, definitely. That's going to be a theme throughout this. I feel like power walking 10 miles every day is, I mean, he'll stay fit. But in terms of like, you know, he's trying to optimize all the time he has. I feel like maybe if you're trying to get some cardio in, mm-hmm. you can get cardio in an efficient yeah. way, and then also just like get to work like a normal person.
Yes.
But yeah, so the next thing he does is 7-minute workouts, which I thought was kind of weird. Like, this is like the shortest section in the whole article.
Yeah.
It's basically saying like when he doesn't walk, he does high intensity 7-minute like cardio workouts with this app called Seven. It's weird. It kind of felt like a little plug for the app, but he's like, I don't use a personal trainer. I don't go to the gym. I use this app. I downloaded the app. I haven't done any 7-minute exercises because, oh boy, that's the other thing I didn't really talk about. My marathon training has been killing me recently. I'm tired all the time, but it's in 2 weeks, so we're going to make it. Okay. But anyways, yeah, that, I mean, 7-minute workouts without a gym kind of sounds interesting to me.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, that is an entire category of apps on the smartphone. It's like, you know, oh, you don't need a gym. Oh, like 5-minute ab workout. Like,
yeah,
it's just, it felt kind of overdone to me.
Yeah.
Okay, this one's interesting to me. He does saunas and ice baths. So first he sits in a barrel sauna at 220 degrees for 15 minutes, and then he gets in an ice bath at 37 degrees for 3 minutes. And this one is not necessarily for the physical benefit. It's almost like meditation, where the point of it is to make your body, you know, listen to you. Like, so that if you've never tried to take a cold shower on purpose before, it's kind of, you know, like you're sitting there, the water's cold, you yeah. know it's going to be cold, you know it's going to suck, and you know you could just turn the water to hot, but if you get in the shower and take a cold shower, it's kind of like a feeling of like, you know, like, yes, I'm telling myself to do this.
Yeah.
And it's very, that's another Silicon Valley trend, is like, make yourself take a cold shower in the morning.
Yeah.
Just to show that like you're in control.
That's a Nebraska trend, in that it's 99 degrees and humid every day in the summer. So you kind of have to, after walking outside for 10 minutes.
Yeah. So, but just like an ice bath like that.
Yeah.
And going from a sauna into an ice bath is, like we've been saying, taking that to an extreme.
Uh-huh.
I could see it being like a, I mean, like in a vacuum, a lot of this stuff isn't crazy, but the fact that he does all this, and that was only number four, just kind of paints him as a, you know, almost like one of those, like Catholic monks that I learned about in private school, where they yeah. like are like, you know, hurting themselves to prove that, you know, they're so devoted, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, except like he's not doing it for religion.
Yeah. He's doing it because he, hates himself. I really don't know.
Yeah. There was a funny theory that the podcast I listened to had, that like Jack Dorsey, if you read like Catching Twitter, or like a lot of the early stuff about Twitter, he was very like punk rock, like alternative guy.
Yeah.
And he was made into like, so he used to have like purple hair, like he looked emo, and now he's this just like picturesque like tech bro CEO.
Uh-huh.
And he's in charge of Twitter, like the least punk rock alternative thing yes. ever, like the most mainstream thing that uh-huh. everyone's realizing has negative effects on people. So they were like, yeah, like, I mean, this dude probably does just like hate himself.
Yeah.
Like, he is probably ashamed and like is in some sort of a weird mental state. But yeah. Anywho, the next thing he does when he works from home twice a week, he stands in front of an infrared bulb. He says when he works, he just flips it on. He doesn't specifically say why, but supposedly new age hippie health benefits.
I think my parents got one of those, and like my siblings use it before they go to bed. So if they've been on like screens, then they go to like this red light mm-hmm. thing, and they stand in front of it for however long, and then they go to bed. I don't know if it's supposed to like relax your eyes before you go to bed.
My eyes definitely feel messed up after staring at screens for a while. So,
yeah.
Yeah, that, I could see that. Honestly, I'm looking forward to the future where maybe all of our light bulbs mimic the sun and have the same feeling, because there is just something so different about like artificial lighting
yeah,
that just sucks. Natural light is great. But yeah, anywho, moving on. Number six, start the day with an ice cold bath. Wait, what was this? I feel like we already talked about that. Well, that might be different. He also does an ice cold bath every day in addition to doing a sauna and an ice bath.
So in conclusion, Jack Dorsey really likes being cold.
Yeah, he really likes being cold. Okay. And now, number 7, he takes supplements. That's not a crazy person. He just, you know, likes to stay healthy. I've never been in the supplements since Kitty Vitamins, but
yeah,
I could see it, especially if you're doing weird dieting like he probably is. You probably need supplements, otherwise you're going to get sick.
Yeah, I've taken some supplements for, like, vitamin C stuff, or vitamin B, rather. Mm-hmm. Not, like, a ton of them, though.
Yeah, that might be the most normal one on there. But now, at number 8, we have entered the eating disorder zone. He eats one meal per weekday. So he eats dinner sometime between 6:30 and 9. He usually eats fish, chicken, or steak with a salad and Brussels sprouts, maybe some mixed berries and dark chocolate for dessert, and the only alcohol he'll drink is red wine. So that is an interesting move, I gotta say.
Yeah. It's been pretty proven by science that eating 3 meals a day is healthiest for your body. It keeps your metabolism up. It keeps your nutrients up. So this is kind of weird.
He says, you know, it's about getting time back from his day that meals take out of it. Because, you know, you're really going to be that much more productive by not taking a break. Like, I just don't understand that.
Yeah.
And so this one ties in with the next one, which is fasting all weekend. So he doesn't eat from Friday to Sunday. So that's, if you're counting, 6 meals a week, which on a good day, you know, I'll eat food 6 times.
Yeah.
If I'm at home and I have snacks and stuff
feeling
like that.
Feeling really good on it some day, just don't have much to do.
And that's like how many times he puts food in his mouth all week, which is just insane.
In case we need to say this for any reason, all of this stuff is very dangerous to do. don't do that. Just eat normally. You'll be healthy. Work out. Maybe change your diet, but don't not eat.
Yep. Definitely eat like a normal person. I think that a good thing that I heard again recently was, as far as dieting, eat food, not too much. Try to eat a lot of veggies.
Yeah, there you go.
That's pretty much all you need.
That's enough.
Okay, 2 more. Tracking his sleep for number 10. Andre, have you ever tried that?
Sort of. I have an app on my phone that's an alarm, but also like tracks your sleep.
Wakes you up at the right time, right?
Yeah.
Those are interesting. I heard there was scientific studies. Wow, look at me. I'm telling you that I might have heard about a scientific study. This is so great reporting. But that, like, while there's short-term benefits of, like, you might feel better when you wake up, it doesn't, like, really affect how you're tired throughout the day.
Yeah.
But I definitely use, like, that sleep alarm clock that would try to wake you up at the right time. I tried to use, like, a tracker on my Apple Watch for a little bit, and that was kind of just, like, nerdy tech stuff. Like, it was cool to see, but then I never got any real value out of it. Like, I can tell when I don't get enough sleep. I don't really know.
I've been meaning to go in and get, like, a sleep study done because all 4 of my biological grandparents have sleep apnea.
Oh, geez.
So it's, like, pretty strong in my family, and there's almost 100% chance that I have it. So I obviously, like, I don't sleep great, but that might just be because it's college. But I have been meaning to go in and get a sleep study, but, like, an actual scientific one at a hospital.
Yep. All right, last one, number 11, journaling. He journals every day in his notes app on his iPhone, which I also think, you know, taking an isolation, pretty good thing to do.
Yeah.
I have never really been able to get into that. Have you?
Nope, not really.
But I don't know, I could see the benefits. That's, I mean, basically a form of meditation where, like, you're reflecting on your day, how you feel about things, that sort of thing. But yeah. So I thought that was a crazy interesting list. We kind of had to blow through it because we have a place to be very soon.
We got to put on suits and be somewhere within the next like 40 minutes. Yep. So
hopefully you enjoyed this episode. Lots of good news. Jack Dorsey is a crazy person. And we will see you next week.
All right. You can contact us on Twitter at HackersPod. Send us an email at hackerslackerpod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you guys. Bye.
Bye.